Ramsey TV.
We got this, Columbus. We got this, Columbus. Yeah,
you got it?
You got it, Columbus? Yeah, I was at the John Glenn International Airport in Columbus, Ohio, as I told you. All the restaurants,
some of you call them restaurants, I don't know. It's not my problem.
All the restaurants closed down, shuttered, because of fear of the CV-19er. And then the signs on the restaurant. We've got this, Columbus, this whole thing where we're working together. I go to Winn-Dixie over here, down the road, the grocery store. And when this saccharinated voice comes on, we're working together. No, we're not. I'm not working with you, okay? I am not in conjunction with you. You and I are not on the same page. I don't know who you are, representative of the Winn-Dixie. We're working together by making me wear a freaking mask, but I'm not working together. We're in this, and remember, we're in this together. No, you're in it by yourself. I'm not in it. Yeah. I'm not of it, but I'm not even in it. We're in this together. No, we're not. I want nothing to do with you and your fear-mongering. You remember what I always say. I hope maybe some of you don't remember. You're new to this show. I'm going to explain this shirt in a second. Don't worry. I do owe you an explanation. These radio guys come on and say, here's the weather forecast for your Tuesday. It's not my Tuesday. Irritates me. Here's the weathercast for your Saturday. It's not my Saturday either. I don't claim any one of these days. 50,000 people are going to die today. On your Tuesday. I don't claim it. It's not my Tuesday. It's not my eon. This just isn't my eon. You're having a bad day? Well, you need a t-shirt or coffee mug or something that says, this just isn't my eon. In fact, somebody made up a coffee mug for me like that a few years ago. I wish I had it. It's somewhere. I don't know where it is. I will show it to you otherwise. This just isn't my eon. You wonder why you're having a bad day? This just isn't my eon. Here's the forecast for your Wednesday. You know, go to hell. Go to hell. I want to explain that phrase. I shouldn't have said that, but you see, we understand what hell is. It's the unseen. So when you tell somebody to go to hell, and you're using it intelligently according to the definition of the word Hades in the Greek and Sheol in the Hebrew, you're basically telling them to disappear. Make like a tree and leave. Go away. That's what go to hell means. It just means become invisible. Vacate from my premises. Get lost. Doesn't mean burn in some fictitious Christian fiery high temperature nightmare. No. So there I am at the John Glenn. You thought I forgot about that original story. Yeah. We got this, Columbus. Shut down all the restaurants in the airport. It was a ghost town. Like I said, it was boring. And I thought later, no, it's got you. CV-19er is going, huh, we got this, CV-19er. We conquered the restaurants in John Glenn International Airport. We conquered them. CV-19er is the winner. And we have a winner, ladies and gentlemen. It is CV-19er. The score, CV-19er, 100. John Glenn International Airport, 0. 100 was a number of facilities, amenities, niceties, foodities that were shut down at the John Glenn International Airport. I think I've gotten that out of my system. Thank you. This shirt was given to me by Marion Travis, a fellow believer. Lives down here in Florida, thank God. Moved from the great, great state of Connecticut. And sorry if you're from Connecticut. What do I know? I don't wear it too often, but here it is. We got a cockatoo here. Strange thing on his head. We got a parrot over here. It's very Floridan, but it's come there. Not really, because I've never seen any of the wild cockatoos around here. I've seen leaves. We got leaves. We got flowers. Oh, but I thought of wearing this way, but I thought maybe I'd do the Elvis thing. I don't know. What do you think? This is a Hawaiian shirt, not a Florida shirt. All right, let's do the Elvis thing. Once again, there's an effort to bring disrepute to the fact that there are two Gospels. This book is by a guy who used to be a friend of mine. I consider him a friend. Don Bast. He's from Canada, Secrets of the Kingdom here. Somebody sent me this book 2 days ago. I'm going to read just a couple parts to show you where people go off. All right, because as you know, it's very important to recognize that there's a gospel of the circumcision and a gospel of the uncircumcision, and it helps a lot of passages in the scripture that seem to clash make sense. I wrote an entire book about it called The First Idiot in Heaven. Explains it in detail. Whenever I get a book, I read like the opening introduction, because usually you can find something in there that raises a red flag and you go, uh-oh. Anyway, I love Don Bast. His wife, Maria, I met them back in mid-90s. They live way up in Sudbury, Ontario, Canada, way up in the wilderness, practically in the Arctic Circle. And Don took me up to this wilderness area. He has this big rock where he liked, and we sat on this rock. He goes, this is where I do my meditation. Sweet guy, really sensitive guy, wonderful guy. But because he's a sensitive guy, I think there's a beginning to this book that sets the stage for error. And I want to read that right now. If I don't get past this opening statement, then I don't get past it, because this is the crux of the whole thing right here. This, what I'm about to read to you, and the reasons behind it will hopefully in the future give you an understanding of how some people, lots of people in fact, go off the deep end doctrinally. It's because of one thing, and it happens right at the beginning of this book. And again, I have nothing against Don Bast. I love the guy. But when you write a book saying there's only one gospel, and if you do that, you can't help but mix law and grace. And when you take pains to describe there's only one, to explain that there's only one gospel, then, well, anyway, I gotta comment. I just have to. Now, here's my first issue. This isn't the killer statement, but let me start here. This is on page one of the introduction. From the mid-90s until 2015, I concentrated my studies in Paul's epistles, because he was severed by God to be an apostle to the nations. He was my apostle. His writings, above all others in the Bible, were for me. I have not changed my opinion. Oh, you haven't? Great. But I knew it. But what pleasantly surprised me was this. Paul wrote much about the secrets of the kingdom. The reason this was a surprise was because I and the saints I had fellowship with for the 20 years mentioned above, I was one of them, by the way, heard little about reigning in the kingdom. In fact, we were taught the kingdom of God was for physical Israel only. Now, I certainly have never taught that the kingdom of God was for physical Israel only. Kingdom is a generic term. It just means an arena of rulership. It could be anything, right? A kid on the playground who's the bully of the playground. He has a playground kingdom, right? He runs everything. He's like the Don of the playground. He's a mafia kid. We had one of those kids when I was in school. So you have to look at the context of kingdom. It just means, again, rulership. So many people see kingdom and they limit it to physical Israel. Well, you can't have a kingdom unless you have a dirt, real estate, playgrounds, whatnot. And so the only kingdom we hear about in the scripture is Israel. But nobody that I know ever taught that, because we know there's a celestial kingdom as well. Interesting thing in Matthew is the phrase kingdom of the heavens. And Matthew, we know, is the book of the kingdom. That is the kingdom on earth. Got to be specific. Look at the context of the millennium. That phrase is only used in Matthew, the kingdom of the heavens. It's not in heaven, it's of the heavens. Oh, going to get to that here in a second. More on that word of. But its location was on earth. But anytime the phrase kingdom of God is used, it's a very loosey-goosey term, kingdom of God. Is the 1,000 years on Israel a kingdom of God? Yeah, God authored it. Yeah, technically, yes, yes, yes. What about the kingdoms that are in heaven? We know that there are sovereignties and authorities and world mights among the celestials. Sounds like a kingdom. It is. There are kingdoms here. There are kingdoms there. Nebuchadnezzar had a kingdom. Just like the playground kid had a kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar was a bigger sandbox. That's all. So why wouldn't Paul talk about the secrets of the kingdom? But you have to look at the context. Paul's kingdom was described as being among the celestials. We are described as sitting at the right hand of God among the celestials. The right hand of God is a place of rulership, the right hand. Throne of God. What's throne? Rulership, a king. Of course, many people, I think including Don Bast, see this kingdom. And they want to be a part of it, but they think that the only kingdom available is the one on earth. Let's get to the big deal right here. Here's the big deal. Here's the big deal. Let me continue reading here. Looking back, I realized there were certain doctrines and passages of Scripture that bothered me during these two decades. One was the teaching. This is right at the beginning of the book, page 2 of the introduction. This sets the scene. This shows you the motivation for writing the entire book. It's a big book. How many pages is this thing? Over 300. I admire anybody that writes a book. There's some good stuff in here, but there's some bad stuff in here. Here we go. One of the teachings was that the body of Christ, made up primarily of Gentile believers, had a much higher calling than Jewish believers or those of the house of Israel. Here it is. Wait for it. Quote, what especially troubled me was that Don Bass, referring to himself in the third person, could have a much higher calling than the Apostle Peter, the one given the keys to the kingdom of God. And the beloved John, the one who leaned on Jesus' breast as they ate together. I could not grasp why these men, who wrote several books of the Bible, including one gospel account, seven personal letters, and the book of the Bible, Revelations, or the unveiling of Jesus Christ, would have a much better would have a much lower calling that these men who wrote the scriptures, including one gospel account, seven personal letters, why would these men have a much lower calling and expectation than I would? To me, this made no spiritual sense. And there you go, on that foundation, it makes no sense to me. On that foundation, a book is written. Why? Because Don Bass can't figure out why the great Apostle Peter would have a lower calling than him. Who is he? Just a guy from Sudbury, Ontario, who sits on a rock. Who is he to have a higher calling? A much higher calling. But when did Don, when did anybody ever say in the last 20 years, including myself, that it was a better calling? You may say it's higher even as you measure it on an altimeter. Yeah, it is higher. We are now reaching cruising altitude. You may now remove your seatbelts and wander about the celestial realms. It's in heaven. It's celestial. It's a kingdom. There's another kingdom on the earth. It's a higher calling, but it's not a better calling. Peter is going to be completely satisfied with his calling, just as we will with ours. And this, how could I, Don Bast, a lowly man in Sudbury, Ontario, how could I have a greater calling than the great Apostle Peter, to whom Jesus gave the keys to the kingdom? The great Apostle Peter, you mean the guy who was a fisherman his entire life? You mean the guy who told the Lord that, don't worry, we'll save you from the crucifixion. We got this. We got this, Jesus. You mean the guy who started walking on the water and then fell down, went boom, or I should say fell down, went splash, that guy? That amazing person? The amazing person who denied his Lord three times, that guy? Denied his Lord with a curse? The guy who ended up being exiled to Babylon? That guy? How could you have a higher calling than that guy? You know what Peter would say? He would say, how come I was given the keys of the kingdom and not Nathanael? Because Jesus says concerning Nathanael, John 1, verse 47, Jesus perceived Nathanael coming toward him and is saying concerning him, lo, truly an Israelite in whom there is no guile. Nathanael, he had no guile. Guile was Peter's middle name. The guy was a ruffian. He was a fisherman. He had guile up to his waders. The guy probably said, Jesus said, to you, I give the keys to the kingdom. Peter's probably looking around, who, me? Me? What? You giving me the keys of the kingdom? Jesus says, shut up. Yeah, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. But, shut up. But, shut up. You're Peter. Upon this rock, Peter looks around, rock? Who are you? Nathanael's sitting there, what? Come on. I got no guile over here. I'm over here with no guile, and you're giving the keys to this jerk. Yeah, they all thought Peter was a jerk, and he was. This has nothing to do... Oh, but Peter wrote three letters. What, three letters? Well, one of them was pretty short. No, two letters. John wrote three. Peter wrote two. Yeah, and he was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Well, this guy wrote in the Bible. No, he didn't. The Holy Spirit wrote in the Bible and used his little wrist, and his little pen. These men wrote the Bible. No, they didn't. They were used by God. They were tools. God could have used an ostrich to write. Wait a minute, an ostrich has no arms. It's got legs. Put a pen in there. And yet in the body of Christ, God says concerning Don Bass, he was chosen beforehand for the place of his son. Don, you were chosen before the disruption of the world for the place of a son in the body of Christ, if you still believe that. I don't know. It's all one to you now. I don't know. Based on an emotional idea that doesn't seem right to me. It just doesn't seem right to me. It doesn't matter if it seems right to you or not. Doesn't matter. God chooses the unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid in the body of Christ. I'm not calling you unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid. I'm just saying. What is this where people have to feel worthy? He's not saying, I have to be worthy, I need to be worthy, I'm not worthy, but it's coming out by saying, I just couldn't understand how the great Peter could have a lesser calling than me. Maybe because God is the kind of God who takes that which is deficient and gives it more exceeding honor. But Paul says, 1 Corinthians 12, I think he's talking about the body of Christ. God takes the deficient, in other words, the foot, and he gives it more exceeding honor than the rest of the body. So Don, you having a higher calling than Peter means you're worse than Peter. So are you happy? You got to be happy about that. You're worse than Peter. Okay. You're pond scum. So God takes you and puts you above all else. Just like God took Peter, a guy with guile coming out the portals of his body, and puts him in a place above Nathanael, who had no guile whatsoever. Yeah, Nathanael's sitting there. You give him the keys to the kingdom? There was probably a general protest at the time. But to say to me, this made no spiritual sense. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how much sense it makes to you. This is the whole thing. People read the scriptures and they get to... there goes my Bible. Just fell on the ground. Oh, well, it's wrecked anyway. People get to certain passages. I can talk about the lake of fire or the second death tomorrow, as far as it doesn't make sense. My God would send some people to the lake. Who cares if it makes sense to you? If God says that's what he does, that's what he does. If God says that he calls you before the disruption of the world to be glorified, seated among the celestials with Christ, then that's that. Stop analyzing it and say, well, and comparing one among the other. Paul says, don't compare each other among each other. Don't compare. Why are you comparing? Why are you analyzing his walk, comparing it to yours? This is what Don's doing, looking at Peter. Go, oh, the great Peter. The great Peter. The guy was a joke and a moron. He screwed up many, many times. I have never seen any spectacular thing Peter did in the entire Bible. Oh, in Antioch, he plays the hypocrite. Yeah, sits with the nations, and then Paul comes in, and people from James come in, and he goes over, slips over, and sits with them. The guy was wishy-washy, hypocrite, guile-laden, fishmongering idiot.
Oh, who am I to have a higher call than the great Peter?
The great Peter! But he wrote three letters. No, he didn't. The Holy Spirit wrote him. Woo! Sender getting hot. Sender gonna drink a little coffee. Sender gonna retire for the day. Not really. I'll be working the rest of the day. And I bid you fair adieu for now.